love to. God bless to see that someday, like a picture. You know, here's what it was like. You know, and can you just imagine early in the morning, and the ground starts. They think they're having an earthquake, and the stone rolls back, and up from the grave he arose, walks out. Hey, I'm risen just like I said I would. Yep. You know what that tells you? God is able.
Yes. Right.
Yes. God is able. You know, he was able. When you think about Jesus, he was able to come from heaven to earth. Yep. Packaged in a virgin birth because God's able. He was able to walk 33 years on this earth and never sin because God is able.
Amen.
He was able to let people crucify him and then the third day raise.
Yeah.
But no one else could ever do. But he is, because he's God and he's able.
Yeah.
I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. John, here's the title, or Danny, Our God is Able. I'm amazed that Brother David seems. I never know what he's going to preach. He never knows what I'm going to preach. I don't know what he's going to sing. And it's amazing how we go. Our hearts right together. Today he brought some tremendous things out in Sunday school.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, he must be reading my outlines, you know. But what it is, we're both just locked in. And I never know what he's going to say. He don't know about me. And I'm going to bring some thoughts this morning. And he might have brought up a few thoughts. And then tonight, I'm just amazed how God's trying to bear witness in our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand for reading God's word. I'm just so glad to see each one of you. What? Look at a full building. Isn't this great? Turn to this person and say,
I'm so glad
you're here today. Amen. You thought I was going to say, because we do an ABL club, I'm so glad Jimmy Delisman told us, I don't look like you. That's what we always do in the ABL club. By the way, this month, the ABL club is going to the Nassau Museum up in Cleveland. It's free, by the way, too. And we'll be going to Cracker Barrel, which is not free, before we get there. But we're going to blast off first with Cracker Barrel. But I'm excited about going to that NASA museum. Mark it down. It's going to be a good trip. One verse. I got to get preaching to you. Glad you're here. Right after I get done preaching, we got people being baptized. When preacher gives the invitation, just come forward if you're going to get baptized. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves.
Amen.
But our sufficiency is of who? Our sufficiency is of who?
God.
Our sufficiency is of who?
God.
Heavenly Father, we're so glad that we have a God that's able. And that our sufficiency is not in ourselves, but it's in you. And Father, I just pray, you put this in my heart to preach. Help me to give to them what you put in my heart. Help me to be a spokesman for heaven that you, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being here to speak, and I just want to be a blessing. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Ghost, come up and down and move people's hearts. And Lord, if there be any lost, help them to be saved. Help Christians rejoice in the greatness of their God and the greatness of their salvation that they've received. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, I was thinking about this. Sometimes we think it is our sufficiency. And that, I mean, things are going good and it's really rolling, Bobby. You know, and boy, tenants is up and people are being saved on Wednesdays and money's coming in and we're getting bills paid and we're saving money and we're bringing the bills, the debt down. And boy, it just seems like God, no matter what we do, it seems like God's blessing. Oh, man, we must be doing something right. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not what we're doing. It's what God's doing. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, we don't need, you know, we're kind of like the guy that's falling off the roof and says, "Hey, Lord, help me!" And his jacket snags onto a nail. Never mind, Lord, I don't need you no more. Hello? I'm here with me yet. And so, we lose sight sometimes of who really is in control. I don't ever want us to lose sight who's really in control. Sometimes we take God out of the equation. When God is everything of the equation. We are not able to, in ourselves, to do anything. But because our God is able, we can conquer things. Amen? Look at, you still have your Bible open there? Look at verse 6. What Paul, who also had made Christ, God, who also had made us able. Look up here. If we have a successful jail ministry, it won't be because of us. It'll be because of the Lord. If this little piglet is successful, it won't be because of us. It'll be because of the Lord. Because unless we yield ourselves to the Lord and let the Lord work in it, it's not going to be successful. If we try to do it on our own, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to flop. We got to get on our knees and beg God, "Oh God, you've opened up a door for us in the jail ministry. Oh God, we can't do it without you, Lord. You're the one." And we're going to let him work through us. Amen. Listen, God hath made us able. You know, listen, our God is able. Would you just let me brag on God for a few minutes this morning? I just want to brag on our Savior this morning. How many believe our God's able?
Amen.
Listen, God's not dependent on me. I'm dependent on God. Sometimes we think, "Well, man, if I don't do this, the whole thing's going to close down." No. See, God's not dependent on me. I'm dependent on God. Let me just quote you some scriptures. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through..." Yeah, will strengthen us. Amen. Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need." But my God shall supply your need in the glory and riches of Christ Jesus. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
You see, when you take him out of the equation, there is no equation. Are you with me? All our sufficiency stems and flows through our God. We are able because our God makes us able. That's what Paul said in verse 6. Because the reason he makes us able is because our God is able. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." How many are glad we can be conquerors?
Amen.
The only way we conquer those through him.
I
just want you to look at a few things. Look at Matthew 3:9. I'm going to quote you a lot of scripture today, some of it I wrote down. But I just want to brag on God. Sometimes I think we forget how great our God is. Our God is great. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 3:9. These people had a big head, Brother Mark, here in Matthew 3:9. And they thought, "Well, man, we're the children of Abraham. We're the elite. You know, you need us, mister." Look, "And think not," Jesus said, "and think not to say within yourself, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is what?
Able.
Of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." You think I need you little peon? Your life consists because of me.
Yes.
Colossians 1:16 says, "By him all things consist." The reason you're here, bubblehead, is because of me. And if I have to make a stone into a child, I can.
That's right.
That's how great our God is.
Amen.
That's how great your God is if you're saved.
Amen.
He said, "Man, don't go around with a big head thinking you're so high and mighty. I can take these stones and make children out of them." You say, "How could he do that?" Because he's God.
That's right.
Now, I know people have taken stones and made pet rocks. But they haven't changed them into children. Hello? Only God, see, God's the creator. Only God can say, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Genesis 2:9. Look at Matthew 9:28. And then I'll quote you a lot of scriptures in the future, but I want you to see a couple of them. Matthew 9:28. I'll pick up verse 27. I mean, how many got Matthew 9:27? And when Jesus departed, two blind men, followed him. By the way, we're all blind. Before we get saved, we're all spiritually blind. We're dead in our sins. We until we see the light, we're blind. Man says, I once was blind, but now I see. When I was, Wednesday night, me and Carl had a great Wednesday night. Thursday night, I went and talked to Brother Mike, and man, he was all, he said, I just can't believe what came over me. I said, I can. It was the Lord. He said, I just never saw anything like that in my life. And he said, man, I just feel something's happened. I said, yeah, it did. The Lord came in your heart. And what got me excited, he took his Bible out. And, by the way, he had the right Bible, King James Bible. And he said, I got saved on Wednesday, August 13th at 8:15 p.m. And I said, did Brother Porter tell you to write that here? He said, no one told me. I just did it because I thought that was important.
Amen.
Amen. I said, amen. It is important. It's good that God told you that. Amen. And look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. These two blind men followed him. By the way, they're a picture just of you and I. And until we come to Christ, we can't see clearly.
That's right.
Yeah, I better not get on that. You know, when you watch TV and you see these candidates running for president and these senators and these other people working, and you say, why can't they see something so obvious? They're blinded. They're blinded. And thank God if you see, you thank God because he lets you see. You only see through the light and eyes of Christ. Let this be in your heart, that Christ put it in your heart. And the two men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming into the house, the blind men came to him. And by the way, you need to, if you're you've never been saved, you need to come to Jesus. And said unto them, Believe ye that I am able? Ha ha. Hello? Do you believe me, I am able to do this? They said, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Boy, when you come to Christ in faith, he opens your eyes.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
See, you got to believe God is able. And Annie, I got thinking about this. You know, I almost fell into a pity party last week, but I didn't. But I was real. By the way, how many of you ever had a pity party? You know who shows up for the pity party? There's three people that always show up. Me, myself, and I. It's an exclusive pity party. You know, we're believing God to do the impossible. To raise up money to pay cash for our new church building so we could be debt free. And I'm not borrowing no money. God told me he would give me the money. And I'm believing God, he's going to do it. See, I believe God's able. We were not the only group there at the jail ministry yesterday. There was another group there, and that we were showing them how close our land was. And he said, when are you going to build? I said, well, we're asking God to give us some money. When we get the full amount of money, we're going to start building. Not the full amount, but when we get, we're not going to borrow any money. He said, wow. I said, well, I believe God's able. He said, amen. He didn't say amen. He just said, wow, that's remarkable. Nothing's remarkable for God.
Amen.
And, You know, I thought about this last week. We put that big ad in the paper. We ran it for a whole week in color. Kathy did tweak it so we got it in color. Thank you, Kathy. And it cost us $1,000 to put that in for a week. Boy, everywhere I go, people talk to me. Wow, we saw your ad. One of the preachers Tuesday said, hey, did you sell your building yet? I saw it. I said, not yet. And he said this. He said, don't worry. It's all in God's timing. And I got thinking, boy, are we ever going to sell this building before I... We're going to sell it. Don't you doubt for a moment God's able to raise up a buyer. Don't you doubt that God... Because if I was doubting, you are too. Because what goes into my heart goes into your heart too. That's how I get my messages. See, you guys think, man, that... You know, like when I preach on messing up, you say, man, who told him? You understand, I'm messing up. I'm just telling you what I'm... And then God's working on you. Ha, you're just like me. We're all sinners just saved by grace. Amen. We all put our... The men put all their trousers on the same way. And the girls put their dresses on the same way. Amen?
Amen?
We're all... Listen, we're just sinners saved by grace. All of us have fought failures. And all of us have doubts. And all of us have fears. And all of us have discouragement and depression sometimes. Oh, yes, we do. By the way, Satan uses depression and discouragement to stop you and me from serving God. But if we would get the thought, man, my God is able. My God is able. My God is able. Hey, devil! You're not going to discourage me no more. You're not going to depress me no more. My God's able.
Amen.
I got thinking about this, Annie. I'm not going to let the devil discourage me. I'm not going to let the devil make me depressed. He, by the way, you want to know what? Look up here. You know one of the greatest thing that God that Satan uses to stop you from doing something for God? Depression. Depression's enough. People are stressed out. People are stressed out, and stress brings on depression. Then you start popping them pills. By the way, I believe those pills make it worse for stress, for depression. Because then you become a zombie. You walk around. Now, then you walk around like these teenagers. We've got the greatest teenagers in the world. Preacher, don't pick on you unless he loves you. I'm proud of our kids. But you ever notice kids till they walk around? I'll say, hi, sweet. Hi, Papa. I'll see him walk across the blacktop. Nobody's... I'll say, do they even know where they're going to go? Mark, you got our whole journey this year with the school. Depression. God's able to take you out of it. You know, and he gave me this. I wrote this down right away, Annie. Here's what you do about depression. We need to continue to believe God's able. Number one, I wrote four things down. We need to continue to believe God is able. He hasn't sold the building yet, Eddie, but he's going to. God has the right timing. My timing would be right now. I wish one of you would come up and write me a check for $1 million and, you know. But it's God's timing. But we need to always believe that he's going to. God's able. We should never, in believing God's able, write this down. This is good. I could preach a whole message on this. We should never lose our dream. You know why people get depressed? They lose their dream. Joseph had a dream. Every one of you ought to have a dream. Every one of you ought to have a goal. Every one of you ought to have a desire to have something in the future. You ought to be... What's your goal in life? What's your dream in life? What's your desire for God? You ought to have one. You ought to have one. If you don't have one, you don't have a reason to get up for. tell you, I'm being consumed with this little piglet thing right now. I mean, that's my right now, that's my biggest goal, my biggest dream. I'm going to reach some bikers this coming week. Never, we should never lose our dream. We should never, because God's able. We should never take our eyes off of our desired goal because God's able. We should never get depressed or discouraged because God's able. We should never get distracted because God is able. Our God is able, and the victory is ours. One preacher preached for 40 minutes the other day. I got nothing out of it. Well, not a little bit. But he made one statement, and I wrote it down. It was worth the one little sentence that he gave me was worth the whole time. He said, "We can't lose unless we quit."
That's right.
Lizzie, we can't lose our dream unless we quit. Look up here. If God can make you quit on your dream, if God can make you quit on your goals and life and desires, you've been defeated. But if we don't quit, if we never give up that God's able, we the victory's because God is able and he will do it. We are victorious, Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby, we can win every time as long as we don't quit. Hello? You might not have what you want, exactly what you were going, but God never makes a mistake. All things work together for good. Are you with me? We can't lose unless we quit. There's so many quitters in life. If there's one thing we try to stress to our kids in this church and our Christian school, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Hang in to the end. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Don't throw the towel in. Stay with it. Can you imagine that you're right. That's who I'm thinking. That swimmer. Michael Phelps. Did he win 7 gold medals?
8.
Eight's a number of salvation. New beginning. But you know what? I guarantee he didn't get that by accident. He had a goal. He had a dream when he was young. And he never let that dream get away, and he never let that goal get away, and he worked at it and worked at it and worked. I'm sure he did. I'm sure there was some days he didn't feel like going. I'm sure there's some days he said, "Well, I'll never make the goal." But you know what? He never quit. He never gave up. He never turned back. And he got his dream, and he got his desire, and he didn't get depressed because he found out you're able to do all things through Christ. Amen? Our God's able. Number two, our God's able to save all people who come to him. Not is he able to help us in our daily lives. He's able to save anyone in the world. I was talking to Brother Mike. He said, "Man, when you said how God loved everyone." Wednesday I was talking about how God loves sinners and God loved all the souls of mankind and how no matter who you are, God, he said, "Man, preacher," he said, "I've had a lot of shortcomings in me." He said, "I've had some shortcomings in my life." He said, "When you said," me and Carl said, "Hey, Mike, we've had all kinds of shortcomings in our life." But he said, "Man, when you said that he said, "Man, that just made me know. That means God could save me too. That God hasn't given up on me."
Amen.
You heard that you're not saved? God's not giving up on you. He loves you.
Amen.
If you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, God can save you. All you got to do is come to him.
Amen.
Scripture says in Hebrews 4:12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he's ever liveth to make intercession for us." You know what? If you say, "Preacher, I'm a hopeless case," I got news for you. Hope is on its way.
Amen.
And it's not the Democrat or the Republican Party. It's Jesus Christ. Because he's able. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever," that means you, that means me, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No matter who you are, Christ will save you. Isn't that exciting? All you got to do is come to him. James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and servility and naughtiness and receive with meekness and grafted word, which is able to save your souls." James 1:21. I'm glad I got a Bible I can believe. This Bible was inspired. I don't care what anybody tells you. There are preachers out in the Baptist room now saying this Bible is not inspired. I'm going to tell you, it is inspired. It's all inspired by God. If it isn't, then you might as well, let's turn the lights off and let's go home because you ain't got nothing to count on.
That's right.
God's word's true and pure. Amen?
Right.
Notice, so our God is able. Not only, number one, we need to always believe God is able to do the miracles. Amen? Number two, I told you, our God is able to save all people. If you're here today and you say, man, you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know all that. I don't care what you've done. Christ loves you. He's died for all your sins. He died for all my. There ain't nothing you can do that Christ says. He still says, I love you. Come. Well, preacher, you don't know where my life is. I don't care. God knows where your life is, and he loves you just the way you are. That's why we sing, just as I am, without one plea. Just come as you are. Amen? Number three, our God is not only able to save our souls, but he's able to keep our souls. I want you to look in John chapter 10 with me. Look at John chapter 10. I know I'm having you look at some scripture, but if you don't want to turn, just let me read to you. John chapter 10. You know what, though, Christians, you ought to be excited about looking at the Word of God. John chapter 10. Now, sometimes people, like me, I have trouble with my eyesight, and it's hard sometimes, but if you can see. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. Go, those that know Christ hear his voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them, Brother Mike, this is what you did Wednesday now. I give unto them eternal life. How many of you have asked Christ to save them? And really meant it from your heart? All right, if you did, he saved you. And I give unto them, what did he give you? And they shall never, never, never what?
Perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow. Did you see that? Look up here. Brother Mike, Katie, I'm not holding on to God's hand. He's got me in his.
Amen.
Man, if I was holding on, I could slip and fall.
Yep.
But Brother Kenny, because we're in his hand, even though we fall, we never fall from him.
Amen.
See, you can't lose your salvation.
Right. Amen.
Once you're saved, you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Yes.
Look up here. See, Carl, someone needs to hear this tonight, this morning. People that think you can lose your salvation, you better be worried. Because what you're saying is, your salvation is dependent on you. My salvation isn't dependent on me. My salvation is dependent on Christ. See, the work, Jesus said, it's finished on the cross. The work that had to be done was Christ had to be crucified for my sins. All I do is believe. He does the saving. He does the keeping. Hello? And when you start thinking you can lose your salvation, what you're telling me is that you think you got to work your way.
Yeah.
I got to keep it. If you're keeping it, you don't have it.
That's right.
Because you're not the keeper.
That's right.
Jesus is the keeper.
Amen.
Hello? Thank you, preacher. The Lord put that in my heart. Look at John chapter 5. Give him a little Romans teaching, amen? A little justification. God sees us just as old. You say, well, you Baptists, you people saved and got a license to sin. No. When you're saved, yeah, you are going to sin to the day you die. But you'll try not to sin. You don't do it willingly. Hello? But we have a fallen, look up here. We have a fallen nature. It's called the flesh. The Bible calls it the old man. It's called Mr. Sin. It's called carnal mind. It's enmity against God. That means word enmity means stronger than hatred. It's enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither deed can be. I'm going to tell you right now that this fallen nature that we're born with, it's a monster. Listen, we'll have it till the day we die. We have to battle it every day. Pretty woman walks by, boy, in your eyes. Hello? Or some guy comes by. You get those thoughts. I hope none of you guys got thoughts. For either way, for that matter. But you say, preacher, I like John McCain said, I believe marriage should be solely for a man and a wife. The other man said, no, he thinks, even though he prefers man and wife, he thinks he can allow the other ones. I like John McCain said, I know that, he said, life starts at conception. The other man says, no, we can kill them. We can just keep killing them. But what we need to do is try to teach them so they don't have them. But I'm a Christian. Yeah. My Labrador was a Baptist too, so. It's scary. You say, I don't think you ought to bring politics in. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you it scares me no matter who's talking. We need to get some people back in office that'll go back to the things of God. That's what hurt our country in the beginning. We've left it. We have a fallen nature. It's depraved. This pretty woman walks by, turn your head. Don't see, it's not a sin to get a thought, but to dwell on it and to lust on it, that is a sin. Are you with me? You could be in the store, and I use this in the Romans class. You could be in a store and give a person a $10 bill, and you buy the item, and it costs $6 or something, and they give you back change for $20. Maybe they give you change for $100. And the first thing the fallen nature says, hey, I told you to pay to go to church. God's blessing you, man. Get out of the store. They got more money than you got. You need it more than they do. They'll never miss it. But the Holy Spirit will say, no, he'll scream. No, let's give it back. It's stealing. And you got a tug of war. And you'll say, well, then the fallen nature will say, just take it. You'll put it in missions. Or take it. Put it in the building fund. Or God's 300. You'll walk out. The moment you get out of that Walmart store, they'll say, no, you need it for the electric bill. Forget God's 300. Hello? I'm going to tell you, we live with a fallen, we've got to learn how to deal with that fallen nature called Mr. Sin, carnal mind. Old, the Bible calls it, a lot of you ladies call your husband old man. The Bible calls him in Ephesians, put off that corrupt old man. Are you with me? Which is corrupt, the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful. We have a fallen nature. I know the old man you got there, yeah, but he's even more older than you think, amen? Because the old man's been there since Adam and Eve, since their sin. God is able. John 5:24. How many are getting the picture? Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting, half past tense. He's already given it to you. The ticket's already been made. Your way to heaven's already been bought. And shall not come into condemnation unless you hold out to the end. Nope. But it's passed from death unto life. You once you get saved, you can't go to hell if you wanted to. Are you with me? Well, when you get saved, you've passed from death unto life, and once you're truly saved, you are heaven bound. Amen. Why am I? Someone needs to hear this. Because Satan will get in your mind, you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. He'll discourage you and depress you, and you'll say, what's the use of going on? And that's exactly what he wants. He wants you to get out of the race for running for Christ. Are you with me? Once you're saved, you truly look at. I'll just, if you want to turn to it, you can. I'll read to you over in 2 Timothy 1. Look at what Paul said. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know. You need to know things about your salvation. Brother Dave was preaching this morning. You need to know about your faith. Folks, you need to be able to stand not on the preacher's strength, on your own strength. Amen. For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. He is able. I'm persuaded that he is able. It's not me. It's not my sufficiency, Paul. It's his sufficiency. He's able. He's able. He's able. I might fall 100 times, but he's able. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What did he give to him? His soul. One more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to abundant mercy hath begun to get unto us a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah, he's our leader. By the way, that's how come you know Jesus is a real God, real Savior. Because Christ rose from the dead. He's the only one that ever did. God said, the one that raised us from the dead on his own, he's the real one, baby. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He's the real thing. Jesus rose that third day. He's the real thing. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Hello, are you with me? And when you get saved, he comes inside you and gives you that lively hope. Because you know what? Before, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Hello? How many are still with me? To an inheritance? Yep. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away? Reserved? Wow! Reserved in heaven for you! Do you know heaven's only been reserved for me? The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, reserved, Rich Skiver. When the moment you got saved, God wrote, reserved your name.
Amen.
By the way, it's written in blood in the book of life. Can't be taken out. Can't erase it. Can't. These people, I don't have a pen on me, but I write his name. Oh, I sin. You scratch. Oh, I'm back again. No, scratch it out. Man, oh. Boy, you're hoping at the end of the ledger, you're not scratched out. Don't be a fool.
Amen.
Don't mock God's word.
Amen.
You don't have nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation, the Bible says in Psalms, belongeth unto the Lord. I believe it's 3:9. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. God provides the salvation. All we have is the responsibility to believe on him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I guarantee you, Mike, Satan's probably attacked you already. Oh, you're not saved. That's just you just got religion. No, if you got religion, you go to hell. But you get salvation, you're going to heaven. Look at where we in verse 4. What's reserved for us when we get heaven? Who's canceling the reservations? Not you. And God says you're sealed until David. That you're bound for heaven. Amen. Look at verse 5 though. I'm trying to get to that verse. That was the verse I wanted. It's God's Bible is so good. I can pick a verse anywhere in the Bible and say, isn't that tremendous? Who? You that are reserved for heaven. You that are saved. You that have been washed by the blood. You that have repented of your sin and trusted Christ your Savior. Who are kept by the power of God. You're not kept by your own power. Man, your power is sink down. Through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Brother, I'm not worried about my salvation. I'm not keeping my salvation. I'm kept by God.
Amen.
So now, number one, God is able to do miracles in my life. I can always believe him that he's able. Number two, he can save anyone that will come to him. Number three, not only can he save, but he can keep people saved.
Amen.
Number four. By the way, I'm not done yet. Look at Jude. Jude, verse 24. Jude's a little book right before back of your Bible for Revelation. Now unto him, unto God, unto Christ, that is able. Did you see that in verse 24, Jude?
Yep.
Now unto God that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Mark, I'm filled with holes. I am. I got so many sins. I got more sins than Carter's got pills. But God's covered me, all my sins, with his blood. He's blotted them out. As far as east from west, he's thrown them away. Past, present, and future. Even the sins I'm going to commit tomorrow, he's already forgiven me. See, I'm not holding on. By the way, I'm not telling you to go out and sin. I'm just trying to tell you, you got no part of your salvation. God does all the saving. Only thing you got is the responsibility is to believe. Now to him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. Aren't you glad we got a God that's able? Oh, he's able to save us. He's able to keep us saved. And then let me give you this last one, or near the last. Number four, God's able to comfort us in our deepest heart trouble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It teaches you there that God's the God of all comfort. In verse 4 it says, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Look up here, Christian. You're going to have problems. Life is not a bed of roses. And even on every rose, if you look at the stem, there's thorns on them. Life is hard. Life is tribulation. There's stress and battles and trials and sickness and heartache and sorrows. But what I want you to get from this is that even though you have to... Even though you're saved, you're not exempt from the world problems. We're sealed, we're set apart for Christ, but we still got to go through this old world. Hello? But aren't you glad we have a God that's God of all comfort?
Amen.
Aren't you glad our God's able to comfort us? How many of you ever felt so depressed you say, man, there's no hope? Can I tell you something? You've got a God that can give you hope. You know, yesterday a man cried out. We were in the jail, and we went in one of the cells, and they were talking. Boy, that was really interesting. It was really a good thing. I wish I could have stayed for the whole day. I stayed a half a day, and some of them got to stay the whole day. But the morning I was there, one of the inmates there, he cried out of the little holes that they have in there. Hey, preacher! What? Hey, preacher! And I said, I can't see you. But I'm glad God was able to see him. And he got down in that little hole and put his little face in there. But you know, even though I wasn't able to see him, God was. And even though I couldn't always hear, I said, who are you? And he called out his name, and I don't remember his name, and I didn't recognize him anyway. Recognizes the little bit that I could see. But you know, even though I couldn't clearly see him, Bobby, God saw. He was in God's 20/20 vision. And Grandma, even though I had a hard time hearing what he was trying to tell me, God heard every word. And Lippy, even though I couldn't reach out and help him like I wanted to, I know I have a God that's able to reach out and help him. See, there were no bars, and there were no big steel doors that could stop God.
Amen.
And I prayed, oh God, I can't help that young man. Not today. Could you do something for him today? Aren't you glad we have a God that's able? Look up here. I don't care where you're living at right now. I don't care where you are in life right now. You say, preacher, my life is so dismal. My life is so down. My life's not even worth living. Listen to me. Don't you think that like that no more. That's a sin to think that way.
Amen.
We're to glorify God in our lives. We're to live. I brought a message months ago. It's good to be alive.
Amen.
And every day God gives us, we ought to have a thought. Man, what can I do for you today, Lord?
Amen.
No matter where you are in your life right now, God can come to you. You say, you don't know how far removed I am. I'm going to tell you, God's able.
Amen.
Our God's able. Can anyone say amen?
Amen?
Listen, our God's able to help you no matter what your problem in life is. Look at this one scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm almost done. It's 12 o'clock. You don't have to break your neck looking. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him. Christian, are you with me? If you can look at this verse, Christian, I hope you can. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is what?
Able.
I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you need. I don't care what your trouble is. I don't care what mountain you're facing. I don't care what valley you're in. I don't care what giants facing you're going to have to face right now or tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, God is, look what it says. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Listen, now he can eat. Not only can he give us money to pay for our new building, he can give us money beyond that. We can build the dorms and another building.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
Maybe retirement homes for our seniors.
Amen.
And buy the other 10 acres that I want. Amen.
Yes.
He can do exceedingly and build that college.
Amen.
He can do exceedingly abundantly. Look up here. We sell God short. If I can get anything to you today, your God is great. Brother Billy, Miss Nancy, we've got a great God. We've got a great God. He's so great, he brought a man through a Vietnam War that they gave up for dead to come back and testify for him. We have a great God. I know some of you have got a lot of problems today. A lot of you are facing some major problems in your life. But I want you to know something. Brendan, not only can he help you with that, but he can do far beyond what we could ever comprehend or think. Can you imagine that? Look what it says. Now unto him that's able, he's able. I'm not able, you're not able, but he's able. Look up, our sufficiency is not in us. Our sufficiency is in our God who is able. Now to him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that, worketh in us. See, Satan's trying to work on us. You can't. But God says, I can. Who are you going to listen to? Lastly, number 5, he is able to change our old vile bodies and give us glorious bodies. Turn up to Philippians, and I'm all done. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 20. For our Christian, he is able to change our vile bodies and give us glorious bodies. For our conversation is in, where is it at? Heaven. From whence we also look for the Savior. Where is he at? In heaven. And by the way, it's not Muhammad. It's not Allah. It's not Jim Jones. It's not the Mormons or the morons. It's not the Jehovah Witness. Hello? It's not John Smith or Joseph Smith. For the Savior, it tells you who the Savior is. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You put your faith in something else, you're not going to make it.
Right.
You say, well, that's pretty bold, preacher. No, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Truth makes people free. If you want to believe in Allah, you can, but you'll die and go to hell with Allah.
Yeah.
Allah didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. They didn't raise. Christ, the Son of God, he came and died for you. He arose. He's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that conquered death, hell, and grave. He's the one now making intercession for us. He's the real God. Philip, have I been with you? And over there in John, Philip says, show us the Father and suffice us. And he said, have I been with you so long? John 14. He said, have I been with you so long? You don't know me? I've been with you all the time. Hello, duh. Look at verse 21. I'll get you out of here. Who shall change our vile body? We've got vile bodies. We're corrupt in all ways. My body today was hurting me real bad. I had to call Pastor Dave and said, man, I can't even. I said, I'm having a little trouble this morning. And I said, don't wait for me. I'm going to be about 15 minutes late. I'm having a little trouble. Sometimes when you get older, you don't get started good like you should. Amen. And I said, I'll be there. And do you ever have those days, Mike, when the getting up is like a resurrection? Your migraine headaches. People have migraine, like Steve Browning has migraine. People have, like, I get real severe headaches. And you that have headaches, with deep Cotra, I think, gets them sometimes. It's hard to function. And until you get that cleared out of you. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Some of you've got, you're taking pills for blood pressure or heart problems, or maybe you got some kind of allergies or all kinds of stuff. You know, one day, hallelujah, we're getting a brand new body. And Brother Bobby, I need one. I wore this one out. You kids, I had a blast with you kids. I'm glad Night of Nights is only once a year. Brother Andy, I had a blast playing volleyball with those kids. I had a blast with that laser tag. I was hitting all the bats and stuff. But the next day, my knee hurt me. It's just now starting to work again. 8 glucosamine pills a day is trying to help me, and God trying to get back. And Terminac, whatever you call it. I'm popping them pills. Bring me back. I need to walk. Turmeric, I think it's called. It's supposed to help you with your arthritis and stuff. Are you still with me? How many know about arthritis? You young kids, when you get older, you're going to meet a guy named Arthritis, and then you're going to go to the pharmacy for a guy named Ben Gay. Notice what it says there, and I'm going to close. And he's not gay. Yeah, Ben's gay. But this is a salve that you put on. For our conversation, now you can't even say gay no more because it's, oh yeah, I know that guy. I know a guy named Bob too, he's a gay guy. You know, look up your kids. When Preacher was a kid, when I was a kid, you know, me and Ben Franklin and Old Abe. And gay, when I went to school, gay meant you were happy. Gay meant you were jubilant. I feel real gay. I feel real gay today. Happy. Now, can you imagine, Brother Bobby, if I go to my deacon's meeting and say, fellas, I feel real gay today. They'd have a church meeting right away. Preachers went gay on us. It's amazing how things changed. Isn't this sad? Gay still means jubilant and happy. When you're gay, you're happy. By the way, the gay people that are evil and sin, they're not happy. They're dying of AIDS. And by the way, they're lonely and their heart is darkened. Their foolish heart is darkened, the Bible says. And they've turned against God. Because it's not natural. Romans chapter 1 says it's not natural. It's against God's nature. It's not right for men to be with men. Boy, I didn't have that plan. This is good stuff, isn't it, Andy? Closing out? Well, it's like a grand finale, closing out. Men are not supposed to be with men. Women are not supposed to be with women. God made man, and then he made woman to be his completer. And ever since, he's been complete ever since. Yeah. And look up here. Look at this last verse. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I'll tell you, I'm going to get a brand new body. I'm going to live forever in heaven. I'm never going to be sick. I'm never going to die. Listen, if you kids want to play volleyball with me in heaven, we could do it for a decade. I don't care. I'm not going to get tired. Amen. And the next day I get up, I'll say, come on, let's do it some more. Come on, Levi. Come on, Austin. Come on, Josh. I'll take you on. Man, look at the old man. He's ate his Wheaties. No, God gave me a brand new body. He's able. Hey, man, that old man had something before he went to bed last night. He's really tweaked. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me. And I'm going to live forever. You know why? Because our God is able. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. You're such a great God. I really think, even myself, as we go through life, we forget about your sufficiency and try to lean on our sufficiency. We forget about how able you are to do all things for us. We let Satan depress us and discourage us, and we deny ourselves of living for you when we should be living for you, and get discouraged and depressed. And Lord, I pray today that you would help your children to know that their God is able. I don't know what they're facing today. I don't know all their problems, but you do. I don't know what prison door they're behind, like that one young man, but you do. I might not know their name and their heartache, but I know that you do. I don't hear their tears and see their tears and hear their voice of weeping, but I know you do. Dear God, I know you're able to help each one. And you're able to save each one here that's never been saved. And you're able to keep each one that's been saved forever. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure I'm saved, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure God has saved me. Thank you. May put him down. Would there be any today would say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? I'd like to be saved. Just raise that hand. I'd like to know when I die, go to heaven, pray for me. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Let me see it. Yes, I saw the hand there. Anyone else? Yes, sir. God bless you. Who else? I'd like to be saved. When I die, I want to know I'm going to heaven. If you're going to get baptized, come right now. Those that are saved, going to get baptized, come right now. Christian, I know God put this in my heart to preach. How many would be honest with God? No one's looking. You've been depressed. You've been discouraged. You say, yes, ma'am. Who'd say, Pastor, I've been so... Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Preacher, would you pray for me? I've been so discouraged. I got a lot of problems and heartaches. And Satan's been working overtime on me. I want to believe God's able to take me out of this. Pray for me. Yes, ma'am, I see that. Yes, sir, yes, sir. You know, I'm going to pray. There must have been 50 hands that went up. Let me ask you to come to the church, come to the altar today and just talk to God. That'll give you the first step of trying to get out of that depression. Oh, the devil say, stay in your pew. People see you. Don't worry about what people think. They're not going to think that. They're just like you. Heavenly Father, I pray if there's anyone else that needs to be saved, thank you for the one man that's already being dealt with. If some more need to be saved, bring them. But Lord, there's Christians here today. You told me in my heart, because I was discouraged. Satan attacked me last week, Lord. He tried to get me discouraged. He tried to get me depressed. Lord, you just brought me up out of that mire, and I'm so glad because you're able to. And Lord, there on both sides of this building, multitudes, I couldn't even number them all, said they were depressed and discouraged and Satan's been working on him. And Lord, I just pray today you'll come down and hug him from heaven. God, may they feel your presence. May you be the lifter up of their heart. Help them to stand another day and to believe you, that you, that God is able to help them. May you come down and be very real in their life, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Why don't you come and pray right now?